Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Spiritual Perceptions. And our guest tonight is Marcia Webb and myself, Janet Thornburg. And our show is dedicated to higher consciousness. But before we start on the program, I'd like to pray for that tragedy in Connecticut today. And the last count was 28 killed, 17 of them children, very small children. And it's times like this that we get troubled in our spirit and wonder how things like this can happen. But I have to say that we are told in the Word that things like this will happen, especially in these times and all the things that are going on in the world. But Father God, we come to you in contrite spirit over this tragedy and these little children and their families at this time of year. And we know that vengeance belongs to you, and we give this to you tonight. And we don't understand, but we pray for everybody concerned, all the families concerned, everybody concerned, and for your true justice, because we don't always see justice in the world, but we know that there's true justice with you. And so we take a moment of silence so that everyone that's listening and everyone can do their from their heart. We praise you, Almighty God, for hearing. We know that you hear us.
Amen.
So our show, like I said, is dedicated to higher consciousness, and I'm going to go over, just reiterate a few little things that we aired last show, our little short 30-minute show.
Well, Dana, before you get started, let me welcome everyone. This is Marcia. And for any of the guests who would like to call in to listen, or if they have a question or would just like to share some information with us, that call-in number is 646-378-1297. Again, it's 646-378-1297. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Spiritual Perceptions. You can contact us by email at spiritualpercept, P-E-R-C-E-P, at AOL.com. For any comments or prayer requests, please contact us. We'll be happy to hear from you and help you in any way we can. For those who don't know, Janet is also a reader, and you can find her on Facebook at Janet Thornburg, or you can find her on Keen at Daisy 644478. Okay, Janet.
Thank you, Marcia.
You're welcome.
I'm just taking right on off. That's me. Okay,
well, you have to do the administrative stuff sometimes. From time to time, you have to get that out of the way before you get started.
That's right. And again, that call-in number is 646-378-1297, and we welcome your comments, your experiences, your testimonies, praise reports, prayer requests, questions of any kind, you know. So, what is the purpose for higher consciousness? And it's to connect to our spiritual side and to spiritual realms. And God will bless us with spiritual blessings. And the scripture reads that everything is in our spirit that we need. So that's really one good reason to connect. Galatians 3:5, Galatians 5:25, walking in the spirit works miracles. So that's another good reason. So there's lots of benefits. Also longevity, that divine health, it's the benefits are immense. And so it's really worth looking into and taking the time. You know, we're busy surviving, but we need to take time. And I can tell you from my own experience, going to college, working a full-time job, and studying in seminary as well, I was able to accomplish all those things by meditating, because meditation is like equivalent to 8 hours sleep sometimes. It just gives you energy, But the big perk, too, is longevity and being agile and your mind being clear. It's good to clear your mind once in a while because we have all these thoughts that come in. And we have to observe ourselves. That's the key. You need to catch yourself doing things. Some things are so mechanical. We just automatically respond, or we automatically do this sort of thing without really thinking. And that's usually
well, but in the higher consciousness, to achieve that, you need to take that bad habit of negative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's where as humans and creatures of that human element, you know, you turn it around and you start trying to replace that negative thought with a positive one. That positive one will negate 10,000 and it will bring you to a higher consciousness. But until you realize out of habit you're thinking these negative thoughts or these doubting thoughts or these thoughts that retard the things that you want or need in your life, you need to bring your mind and your thought away from that instinct, that human nature, that habit, and bring that to a positive place.
Yeah, see, it's habitual. It's something that you do automatic. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, instructs us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, if it doesn't line up with love, doesn't line up with the word, you replace it. Okay, so a negative thought comes and tells you that, you know, something's not going to work, or all the things that we do, the voice inside, you know, the voice.
Well, it's like you wired the lamp in and you're getting ready to plug it in the wall, and you're like, okay, as soon as I do and I go to turn it on, it ain't going to work. So you just walked all over all the positive energy you put into putting that lamp back together. You know, it's why? Why? But we don't see that as such because we look at things from the past and, well, this is just going to happen and this is just going to happen. Why try? And we give up. We give up 2 inches before the gold.
I know. And see, that's a big hindrance. That's an obstacle to block our inner the inner voice. And sometimes it'll say that it's always been the same. You know, I can see that with people who are inmates in prison. I mean, they finally get to a point where they're repenting, but then their situation doesn't change. Every day they're still in there.
Well, and people who are less fortunate, they say, you know, why try? Because as soon as we try,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to wind up back here.
Yeah, see, that's how we do it. That's how we do it. We need to take those thoughts captive and replace them with a positive affirmation. You need to find out what your problem is. Whatever your problem is, find a verse in Scripture, and then repeat that verse instead of thinking, you know, take that negative thought captive, and then speak the blessing over yourself. Leviticus talks about speaking, and Exodus as well, talks about speaking blessings over yourself and your children and your family. Even if something bad is going wrong, instead of focusing on the pain. We are so good at focusing on the pain and not wanting to let it go, you know. And these changes, Sigmund Freud called it the superego, the internalized parent, the inner critic, the person, you know, the person that stays stuck on that. Metaphysics calls it the inner voice of reasoning. It's that mindset that critiques everything.
Well,
internal authority figure.
Well, kind of help me here. Help me kind of play this one out.
Okay.
Okay. In Genesis, okay, it tells us, in the beginning, God
mm-hmm.
created the heavens and the earth.
And how
okay.
did he create it? He spoke it
well,
into it.
Well, now, wait a minute. You know, he basically thought it,
mm-hmm.
and that created it, right?
And then he spoke it into manifestation.
Into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well now, we're supposed to be creatures of God. We are supposed
to be
created
in the image and likeness of God. And what we speak over ourselves, we create.
Right. And the Bible teaches us that we are all part of one body.
That's right.
And that means we are all creators ourselves. Not made of the creator, but a creator also. Or not just made by the creator, but we are made to be a creator. And we are made to use our minds and to use our prayers and our meditation so that when we put our positive thoughts out there, they become the heavens and the earth. Does that make sense? Am I on the right track here to bring this to a higher consciousness level?
Okay, God never forces us.
Right, no, but that's what
into
I'm saying.
Right living or anything. He said, let there be light, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he said, let us create man in our own image and likeness.
Right, but he had to have that thought of light.
And
he had to have that thought of man. Okay, so it all started
before when the war began in heaven, when Satan took one-third of the angelic realm. And I believe that he knew in his thoughts that man was going to fail, and it was all part and parcel of the plan of redemption. And everything that we are experiencing now in the Middle East, in our world, in our finance, everything, if you notice, it isn't working. So we have to look at the fact that this is the time, like this tragedy today. You know, obviously this is a very disturbed person, a very ill person, who possibly, but I just can't see, I mean, apparently killing his own mother, but why all these other innocent people? That's, you know, but then again, that's his karma and his thing to work out. And there are consequences for your actions. We create,
right.
You know, we make our decisions.
But see, before he could go in there and pick up that gun and shoot somebody, that was a thought. Nothing happens by human hand that doesn't start with a thought.
Exactly.
It may become a habit. It may not.
That's how the enemy attacks us. He introduces a thought. It's like
negative.
He did God say? He began to get her to question.
Right.
Did God say, well, you'll not, you know, you're not going to die, you're going to become like him. What they didn't realize is they were already like him.
Right.
Yeah,
and
got led into that.
And, you know, it's the same thing. You know, we get that negative thought, now it starts eating at us. And one of our friends
mm-hmm.
tells us, you know, we're out in left field someplace, so we said, well, maybe our dream is half-baked. You know, I've been looking at this since you and I have been working on these, you know, two shows, and for a number of years I've been working on this higher level of consciousness for myself and for the people that I love and care about, which would mean I'm looking at this higher consciousness thing for everybody in the world, not just me and not just my children or my family.
That's why we're here. We're here to help people evolve. And it's a process in which we're loving one another. We're doing as the Lord asks us to do, to love one another and help one another along the path. God expects us to take charge of our thought life. And he also expects us to control our emotions. And if you think your emotions won't cause any trouble, you need to read about in Genesis where Cain killed Abel. And it said he rose up. What did that mean? It means he'd been turmoiling this stuff. He rose up and he killed his brother, okay? And emotional disappointment causes people to doubt their good and their God, and we need to know that emotionally driven people, then that's what Adam and Eve became once they, and we tend to be that way as well, so we have to take charge of that. And with higher consciousness, you know, you're leaving the conscious level of everyday life and you're just relaxing your mind, you're clearing your mind, and you're bringing good energy in. In other words, you're feeding your spirit. Basically, you're feeding your spirit.
Well, but the whole thing, the biggest problem is And I find this a lot, and it happened to me when I first started learning how to meditate and clear your mind. There's so much that goes on in everybody's life. And when you have things like what happened today happen, or the death of a loved one, or even the family pet, you know, it kind of throws your day off. But
it really does.
And it makes it even harder to try to clear your mind. It just adds that much more to your mind. And so people a lot of times will give up on trying to meditate. Meditation took a long time for me to be able to get to that point of clear your mind. But
yeah, well, if you're
it's
a very active person mentally, it's a little bit difficult to,
I've found
racing, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. You know, this is time out from all that, and it's a clearing, and it's allowing your spirit to, it's allowing yourself to be able to receive from higher sources, you know, the higher.
Right, and so what I did, when I would be trying to clear my mind, which seemed to be the hardest thing because there's so much that goes on, which means that's all of those thoughts that are out there in the world trying to manifest because you're having them. I found that, okay, I have this thought, the laundry needs to be flipped. I need to go fold and I need to go put some more in. Mm-hmm. Okay, have that thought, it's gone. Now get back to clearing my mind.
You just let them come in and you go out and you bring yourself back. The best thing I've learned to do was just to focus my attention on my breathing. And that way the thoughts would come in, I'd go right back to focusing my attention on my breathing. And that's basically a good prayer. It takes a while.
It takes a while
into a deep trance the first time you meditate. You know,
it takes
a while of clearing. But
and so many people give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They give up before they can get to that point.
Never give up.
And you know, so you know, I told somebody recently. I said, hey, you know, they're like, I really wish I had a few dollars to put back. I said, well, why just a few? As if you're going to dream and put those thoughts out there, make it big.
Yeah.
Do you want 400?
Donald Trump says you're going to think anyway, think big, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Well, back to the end times again. You know, we've been talking about all the signs are up. Well, there's a scripture in Revelation talking about the moon turning to blood, and also in Joel. And we are going to have four blood moons coming up, starting in April 2014, going through October 2015. And there's if you want extensive information on it, Pastor John Hagee's running a series on it. He's also our pastor for Christians United for Israel, which I'm a member of. But it's interesting, you know, years ago, no one would even talk about this, but Perry Stone, Pastor John Hagee, all these media ministers are now beginning to talk about the signs of the moon, and that's what we started out with this radio show. You know, we began talking about the eclipses last time and what that effect was on our emotions and communications and unresolved issues. And
well, tonight, I don't mean to interrupt, but tonight is the new moon.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are out there... For those who are out there new at all of this, tonight is on the new moon, you want to work to bring things into your life, the good things that you want, your happiness, your finances, your health, whatever it is that you're looking for. Tonight is the night that you want to have strong thoughts about bringing those positive things into your world. So just a little side note. Sorry, Dana, go ahead.
No, that's all right. That's why we're co-hosts, really. So we talked about the hindrances and the obstacles that block our blessings, and one is this inner voice that goes on and says, it's always been the same, it'll always be the same, it never seems to change, no one ever really changes. These are the thoughts that you want to take captive, because it's a mindset that can be very critical, and as I said, Sigmund Freud called it the superego. We call it the inner voice. other people call it the inner critic or the internalized parent. So these are mindsets that critiques everything. And so we have to understand that while we're critiquing or focusing on being critical, we're missing out on the higher consciousness because that's not part of it.
Right, because that critique and that critical is bringing you down. That's a negative thing. You're thwarting your progress in any way with those thoughts. That's why you have to allow yourself to have them because you had it and say, okay, now put a positive one out there to negate it. And if you put two positive ones out there, then you're ahead of it, right?
Well,
that's like the ceiling,
like
but
a caller from 312 area code. Shall we take that call?
I'm not sure that they have a question.
Oh.
But thanks for joining us in 312. If you have a question or anything you'd like to say, please let us know. And I think they tell you to press 1 or something in the queue. I'm not sure. But the call-in number again for those who are out there listening or just joining us, it's 646-378-1297. And I'm Marcia, and Janet's here, and we're trying to get here to higher consciousness.
And, we went over the benefits of it. And if all of our blessings are in our spirit, I think that's a real good reason for learning to connect. And then we have to understand that our future is created by the decisions we make. And the decisions we make are between the intellect and the emotions, and sometimes that can be a battle. You know, and there are people who, you know, we begin to form the developmental psychologists say the voice begins to fully operate at age 4. It becomes, you know, a moral compass for these children. And it's amazing what they say today. I mean, it's amazing what my 3-year-old granddaughter says to me. She runs around here going, never give up, never give up. Reminding me, I will never give up.
Well, I mean, and if we could take that attitude from 3 and take it into 30 or 60 and just keep that mindset, never give up, then we're always putting out there, you know, we're never going to give up till we achieve this dream that we have. So, I mean, my recommendation is for everybody, excuse me, on a daily basis, if it's the time it takes you while you're in the shower, all by yourself, you know, just sit there and think about and feel the feelings, feel the emotions of what it would be like to have that relationship or that health or that financial abundance or whatever it is. Take those few minutes and feel those feelings and see your life happening through the feelings, not a person, not a number, not an address, not a car, just the feelings that you would feel if you had that Porsche or that BMW or that Jaguar or that Bentley or if you had that 90210 address or if you had $10 billion. Just feel the feeling that you would have if all those dreams came true. Just take that 5 minutes or 15 minutes when you're in the shower and do that every day. And I guarantee you that your life will change. It won't always be that same old, same old. But
that's
if we could
right.
keep that never give up attitude that we have at 3 into our age, you know, now, our worlds could be amazing. Not just our individual worlds, but just think of how that would touch our happiness and the way we handle and carry ourselves out into the world would make the world a better place.
And, you know, when things like this happen, I want to state to you that whatever Jesus is to everyone out there, that's your own personal relationship, whether he's a teacher, whether he's your Lord or who he is to you, that's personal and private, but a lot of questions come up about how could a loving God allow suffering or evil to happen like this happened today. And I want to say that this mentality robs us of knowing the most beautiful person in the universe, and I'm sharing Pastor Dickow's work on his 40-day fast because this was one of the questions that he covered. And in his work here, he says, believe in the goodness of God, and that there is no one is touched as deeply with humanity's pain and anguish more than our Heavenly Father. And we need, you know, people kind of blame him. Why does he let these things happen? But he weeps with us, and he offers his mercy and grace in time of our need. So we're asking him tonight for his mercy and grace upon the situation. You can find that written in Hebrews 4:16. And we need to change the way we look at love. You know, love gives us free will. God gave us free will, and he cannot break his own commandments. You know, he gave us free will upon this earth. Be fruitful and multiply. He gave us, and the only thing he asked was the one thing, and of course that's where the disobedience began, and everybody, the rest is history. But it's a process in which he's going to redeem. You know, people say, I mean, everybody's looking. I've been having people ask me lately, well, you thinking about the 21st? And I go, no, you know, I hadn't really thought about it. But I know something is about to happen. I don't know if it's the 21st or the 31st or first of the year or when the time is. But I know that all these signs, you know, it was predicted that violence would increase, and brother against brother, nation against nation. And we're seeing that, and there is an evil spirit. Pastor Parsby teaches this. Who else is teaching this? Creflo Dollar was teaching this. There is an evil spirit in the world that is attacking children. And there's the sex trafficking. You know, I was absolutely astonished to believe that that was going on. I thought that only went on in third world countries. It is going on in the United States of America. And this evil spirit, this demonic spirit, and then there's the spirit of terrorism that's out in the world. And these are the principalities and powers and evil spirits in high places that Scripture talked about. And we need, through our time of seeking higher consciousness, to get above those things and get the direction and wisdom that we need to be in the right place at the right time when this change does occur.
Well, you know, I've been asked about, you know, what do I think about the 21st? And first and foremost, I said, well, I'm going to make sure my, you know, house payment's made, because if it was due on the 21st, on the 22nd, they may be coming to look for us. So I want to make sure that that's done. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are trying to play it, and I'm not trying to make fun of anything. First and foremost, please understand,
no,
I'm not trying to make fun of anything.
It was
well, you know, house payment, car payment. Yeah. Make sure the light bill's paid. But my point is, it's like if you go back to the turn of the century, everybody went into such a deep panic because, you know, when, how's it going to, what's going to happen when the computers roll to 2000? They can't do it, and it's going to be this big catastrophe. I think there's so much hype into it. I don't believe that the world's going to cease to exist on December 21st, 2012. I do not believe that, because that would be saying that this is the day and the and year that you're dying. The Bible tells us that, you know, our
no
time is not known.
No one knows. No one.
And
only our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, don't ask me. I don't know. He doesn't know. It's, sure, we're not going to know. So,
well, and I don't think that, you know, I don't think that, I mean, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and when it's ready, that's your time. And I don't think that if his intent was to have the world cease to exist on December 21st, 2012, I think he would have said, everybody, you're just going to be gone by then, period, dot. You know, if my Father's house will be finished and complete and never a space for everyone on this day, dot, period.
There is going to be a change. I mean, there's a lot of stuff
coming down the pike, serious,
but
heavy
stuff.
We're looking
at it in the past, and now it's not working. The financial aspect hasn't been working, although I noticed today, an increase in real estate, which is very promising. And
but only in some cities.
I think it'll be better. It'll be progressively better. And by April, May, June, early summer, you're going to see a nice turnaround in it.
Well, but the only problem is, though, Janet, here's what I see. That's going to happen. I agree with you. But here's what I see. The jobs that are being created are minimum wage paying jobs. How many people are truly going to be able to afford, now we're talking afford, a house where the prices are coming back? And how many people who could possibly afford it haven't been hit with all the stuff, the things that took your credit down from this last fall and caused a credit score or something, a late payment that now they wouldn't qualify? Will that cause us another situation a few years down the road? That's my only concern at this point.
Well, Marcia, on the financial realm, I think you're more qualified than me in that area. It means that that was your job, and I respect you for that. And I'm just seeing a turnaround, and for some people that's good news, and some people it's not. The jobs, they're mostly minimum wage that are going to be created. There are a lot of things that are threatened. There are certain government, state, local, and federal positions that are in jeopardy. And I've always said never put your eggs in one basket. And if I were in those positions, I think I would be going to school or being putting something else under my belt. So if it did happen, that you're prepared.
Oh, I agree.
Prepared is a big thing. Instead of falling up under fear, it's like, okay, we're going to get ready consciousness here and get prepared and just not put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
But we are in strange times, and, these blood moons coming up, I think, is a very significant thing. I myself am planning on getting that series to get into it a little deeper. But you can reference that in Joel chapter 2, verse 30, and in Revelations. I don't have the exact one on that, but I could look it up in the concordance. And it's just our time. It's our time to really get into ourselves, look at what we do to sometimes we just need to get out of our own way.
We need to do that a lot.
Our way of thinking, our emotions, and that's what this program is dedicated for, is the Bible says in Romans, I think chapter 1, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And so it's our job to renew our mind, and it's our job to take charge of our thought life. If you feed into your subconscious mind that I'm going to be a bag lady, then guess what? That's what you're going to create. So you just need to understand that we need to take thoughts captive that are contrary to the Word of God, to the love, to your success. Because God says, He calls us beloved above all things. I wish that you be in health and prosper as your soul prospers. And how does your soul prosper? By being renewed, by renewing your mind. That's how your soul prospers.
And you renew your mind with prayer and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. You just said, how these thoughts create the world around us. And our thoughts do create the world around us, be they negative or positive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to good people, because they do. There's something when that happens, there's something that we're derived from it.
Life's fair when it comes to that. Trouble comes to everybody.
Okay? And it just, it shows all of us that it may not be you that needs to learn the lesson, but someone close to you does. So that's, you go on and you go from that. Oh, I think we lost Janet. Well, let me see if I can finish my thoughts. And there's a an author that I really...
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please
really
try again.
There's an author I really like to listen to, and I'd like to read, Mike Dooley. And he will, or his catchphrase more or less is, thoughts become things. It's like I stated before, you know, when God created heaven and earth, it had to be a thought before he created it. But like I said, Mike Dooley is an amazing author in my thoughts and my words, because he's very positive and upbeat. But that's his catchphrase. I mean, when you think about it, before anything can be made, created, before you can make dinner, you think about what you're going to make. So thoughts become things. Thoughts become things. If your thoughts are positive, more positive is going to be there. If your thoughts are negative, more negative is going to be there. But, I mean, as we get into these blood moons, and as we look at Revelations, and we see everything coming to pass, I mean, I believe after, you know, 1221 hits, you know, I think there are going to be some major changes, some major issues. And that if we don't take ourselves to this higher plane, this higher consciousness, we're not going to understand, and we're not going to be able to think. Our process is going to be even more limited if we don't start working on that now, getting it ready, preparing, as you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find that we need to take control of our day one thought at a time. You can't allow yourself to get overwhelmed. Isaiah 28:13 says we build upon God's word and God's thoughts in our lives, precept upon precept, line upon line. And one of the affirmations I use, again, this is coming from Pastor Dickall's work, I am in control of my life because I'm in control of my thoughts. I rule my life by ruling my thoughts. My thoughts liberate my emotions, my health, and my relationships and my whole life. I think above, beginning today, and I choose to look down at life rather than look up at it. I see it from God's point of view. And that's a very important step. We've been doing it our way, and our tendency is, you know, like Eve. Oh, I'm going to become like God. She didn't realize she was already like God. And I'm going to know the difference. I'm going to be like him. So, you know, he tempted her, and she gave into it, you know. And we're going to be faced with things that can limit us, and that's where your observation comes in. And you observe yourself, and when these things come, then you know what to do. You stop, take that thought captive, or replace it with something good, a positive affirmation. Find a scripture that fits the problem that you're dealing with. Speak that scripture over yourself.
I found it good when I started working with affirmations. I found it good. I got myself a little notebook. You know, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. You know, I got myself a little notebook, and I would start writing affirmations. I would sit there for a minute. You know, the ones that you can go online and find them everywhere, and some of them are really amazing. But I found that, you know, after I did that a little bit, I took that notebook and I sat down and I started writing the ones that suited me best. And so, you know, an affirmation can be anything and come from anywhere, but it needs to be affirmative. It needs to be a positive message. You know, not standing in front of the mirror and says, boy, I'm fat, I need to lose weight. Stand in front of the mirror and say, boy, I look great in a size 8, you know. You know, and see the difference that it makes.
That's the whole thing, seeing yourself being healed. Healing is a process. There are instant healings. Those are miracles, and those are for the unbelievers. Those are signs, like the Crusades and those instant miracles. Those, you know, in those other countries, those are for unbelievers, and they do happen.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. We need to bring those positive thoughts in. And once you see how it changes you, I mean, everybody around you is going to see how you're changed. So the positive is already starting out into the world, and you can see how your thoughts become things, whether it be about your weight, your finances, your romances, you know, your family, your health, health of a friend. You have to put that positive out there. God created the heaven and the earth and everything and everybody that's ever been on it. And it started with a thought. And he tells us we are creators. So why aren't we creating positive things with these thoughts as opposed to wars and shooting up schools and selling
a spirit of rage, which is, has no
and
boundaries.
Selling our children into slavery and into the sex industry and children being molested. We need to stop for a second if it means just, like I said, in the shower, in front of the mirror, whatever it is. Turn it around. Your life will change.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and we need it to change. We're coming into this serious time. The Bible's
coming into
foretold
a new
it.
Age. Mm-hmm.
The Bible's foretold it. The moon cycles are telling us the aggression on our children, the wars. We need to put this positive out there to help negate some of this hostility. And it starts within us. You know, you listen to people say, I've got to get a mate, I can't be happy without somebody. Well, now, wait a minute. If it takes somebody to complete you and make you whole and happy, you ain't going to be happy with the next person or the next person or the next person. You got to start inside, and you start inside by standing at the mirror and say, hey, I look great in a mate, you know. I mean, it sounds like, you know, these are stupid little things, but they make a difference in the world. They make a difference in the world because you're creating. You're creating something positive in your life. You're creating something positive in the world, and it will help negate some of this. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for what's coming. And our minds will do more good for us than it will bad if we can get rid of that habit we've created of thinking, oh, same old, same old. It's never going to change.
And some people don't believe it, but if you will observe yourself, I for one was guilty of that, but I caught myself and I went, you know, I do that.
I'm right there with you, honey. I had to catch myself, too.
Yeah.
You know.
You do have to catch yourself. And you do that by observing yourself. You know, it's basically not what happens to us in life, how we respond to it. How we respond to it.
Well, I say things are black and white. There are so many shades of gray. But in reality, they're black and white. Everything. It's black and white. But when I say a word, it could be any word. I mean it this way, you take it that way. Okay? That's not black and white. That's where the gray comes in, and so many people get misunderstood, and so many situations get out of hand because of all those shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get on a higher page with the higher consciousness. We need to put that positive stuff out in the world. And if you think that, you know, well, isn't it selfish to think, well, I look good as an eight or in an eight, you know? Yeah, it's selfish, but it's not thoughtless. You know, thoughtless is when you don't care or take into consideration anybody else or anything else. Selfishness is thinking about those people and thinking about the consequences. Well, if you're a happier person, everybody around you is going to be happier. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So are you putting more positive in the world? I think so. is that selfish? I don't think. You thought about the benefits. You thought about the risks. Well, standing in front of the mirror, you know, you're not taking much of a risk. Well, you know, sometimes I feel like it might crack when I stand in front of it. But, you know, standing in front of the mirror is not hurting nothing. And if you if you become more positive, your family is more positive, your work situation is more positive, the world becomes more positive just because you stood in front of that mirror and said, I look great in eight, and you lost that 20 pounds you were trying to lose.
Well,
that's a win-win.
Several years ago, we did what's called mirror therapy. And you know, have you ever met people that don't like to look in the mirror?
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm like, it shows me what I look like. You know, somebody says they want to see my driver's license. I hand it to them and say, don't mind the picture. It looks like me.
It's a reflection of you. It's a reflection of you.
Oh, that don't look good.
I truly believe that you should be able to look in the mirror and love yourself, no matter where you are in life. You know, I look in the mirror, and I smile, and I just decide to be happy because I finally love myself. You know.
Well, I mean, I do too. I say, okay, the cargo shift a little bit now. You're kind of at the top of the hill being pushed over.
Or I'll make a joke. Who is that old person in my pajamas, right? And I
wait a minute.
It's a process. This is where I am in life. This is where I am in the now. But there are
but,
people
you know,
that
God
are
God
so guilt-ridden. They can't like themselves. They can't see, you know. And higher consciousness will help you to get past that. Maybe, you know, it was instilled in you as a young child and some sort of guilt-ridden behavior, you know, and there's a difference between guilt and consciousness, and guilt doesn't come from God, conscience does. So, I think mirror therapy is good.
Well, I just look in there and say,
I think it was Pastor Crippled Dollar that said, want to see a demon when you're upset? Look in the mirror.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been known for my horns to sprout. Yeah, I've been known for my horns to sprout for a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the last time I saw the doctor, he told me I was an angel, and I wanted to say to him, but I had the thought, well, thank you, but I have some very bad red horns holding up my halo. You know, and we're human and
real shiny,
you know,
and real pointy. Okay,
real red. And how I release anger is a candle burning technique. I get red candles and I put all the frustration and anger into the red, and then I light the white to protect me from any damage I might have been doing to myself or anybody else from my anger. And anger is something that we need to study. And God says we need to be slow to it. Now, there is such a thing as justifiable anger. Anger, and I'm sure the parents of those babies are very angry.
I'm very angry, and I, to the best of my knowledge, am not related to any of them, except that, as we said in the beginning, we are all one body. And part of my body was killed pointlessly and senselessly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I can be angry for. But you have to find, the higher consciousness says you have to find peace, and you have to find solitude and know that He is with you. And the parents of these children need to know that God has their children. It's not easy to accept or understand. I myself have lost several children, so I understand what they're feeling, not in such violence, but their babies are with God. Their babies are with God. And that's where they need to find comfort and solace.
Absolutely they are. Absolutely.
But as I alluded to,
because they're under the age of consent, and so they're not responsible, and you can believe they're in the bosom of God.
Well, you can believe kids in an elementary school haven't really been on this earth long enough
That's why
I said, have committed real heinous crimes.
And do you know what the age of consent is?
12.
You're going to be as surprised at this. 30.
I thought
you're
it was 12.
Well, 12 begins a bar mitzvah, begins the process of going into adolescence, and training begins at that time. You know, see, Jesus entered the temple at 12 and began learning. He knew the Word of God. He studied the Word of God. He knew it by heart. He knew how to speak it and that's how he responded when he was tempted. 40 days in the desert, he responded with every remark that the evil Satan gave him with scripture. And that's how we need to deal with that too. And this is a spirit of rage, along with it, there are evil spirits that are affecting our world today, and we need to know that. And it's being shown to us,
by the truckload. But, you know, when we talked a couple of weeks ago on the show, I had mentioned that I had seen an article on AOL about a study that was done on what prayer and meditation does to your brain. And they showed that prayer and meditation activate parts of the brain that aren't usually used, and they're stimulated, highly stimulated. And I said that I would pull that article and send the link to anybody who wants it. I also stated I could not remember the doctor's name or the hospital name, but so I wanted to mention that, and that was Dr. Andrew Newberg, and he did this research and this study at Thompson Jefferson University Hospital, a medical college. Now, it doesn't say where that is, and I'm not sure where that is, but it's being proven by MRIs that, you know, there are significant changes in the brain, and how does our body run without the brain? So where do our thoughts come from? Where do our thoughts resonate from? You know, the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in prayer and meditation, it doesn't have to be for hours and hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be a few minutes. But it needs to be a consistent and constant
15
thing.
15 to 20 minutes is equivalent to 8 hours sleep. And it does magnificent things for the brain. Like I said, it produces longevity, mental awareness, because you stimulate parts of the brain that, you know, are left undone if you don't take the time. And most of us, you know, keep heavy schedules. I mean, to survive in this day and time. You know, a lot of people are working two jobs or more. You know, I work part-time job, and take care of three kids. And
right.
I'm 69 years young and agile, active, and, you know, I've been meditating for several years now. I took it in college, and, you know, and I've been guilty of slacking. I've done some slacking, you know, where, and I can certainly feel the difference when I do.
Oh, I can too. And that's
that
why
Ian tells us, you don't need to just, you know, indulge today. You know, women in particular, we tend to, well, men too, can't just say women, we tend to find solace in food.
Food or physical activity with someone other than our spouses. One of the two, or alcohol, drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I would say those
are the escape. I don't think drugs or alcohol would have any power over you if there wasn't something deeply eating at you.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. To be that emotional, I mean, if we just turned our brains on through prayer meditation, look in the mirror, spend 2 seconds looking in the mirror, say, hey, I look great in an eight, you know. you know,
so
taking
cute.
That shower, thinking and feeling. That's the important part. Feeling all of those feelings you would feel if you were able to step 6 inches up into the life that you would love to have. Now, come on. I mean, it's proven
again,
that prayer and meditation,
the words of God,
puts it out there. You know,
the words of our Father, beloved, he calls us beloved. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health. That's what God wants for us. Anything contrary to that is not from him.
But, you know, he put how many billion of people are on the planet today. But he wants to, you know, he sent his son
here. He wants an intimate relationship with us. You know, religion has put restrictions on us.
Because he wants to experience life through Janet's viewpoint and the things that happened to Janet. He wants to experience life, you know, as Marcia. Because nobody else who's ever been here before or will ever be here in the future will experience life the same way you did. So whether, you know, so believe it or not that you're special, you are special.
Mm-hmm.
You are special. Nobody will ever live the life you've lived or that you will live or that you
And there's not another Marshall, there's not another Janet, there's not another 312 who's ever listening in. There's not another person like you. You're very special and unique and you have gifts. God has given us gifts. You know, we go before God before you're ever a fertilized egg. And you come on this earth with assignments, challenges, a destiny, a soul destiny, and a purpose. And you need to find that purpose. And mastering ourselves is a big, 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 big step.
Yeah, but see, that's if we go back to what I said earlier about, you know, listening to other people and those negative thoughts, and you're saying never going to change, never going to change, same old, same old. You know, we go there instead of looking at the positive side, and we're stuck.
Stay stuck.
You know, we need to move on. We need to realize our bodies were made for this, and God gave this to us. He promised it to us. He said, this is yours. Well, now, I know he put my lungs in there because I could breathe. I know he put my heart in there because I'm moving around and there's blood moving through my veins. He knew what he was doing when he did all that. He knew what he was doing when he
said, we live and have our being because God is.
Well, and he
God
knew
is.
What he was saying when he said he wanted us to have an abundant life. Well, I don't think that he meant he wanted me to have an abundance of misery in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He means that he wants me to have the abundant life, that life I would have if I could step 6 inches up and into it. So I spend time looking at that and thinking about that and, most importantly, feeling what that feeling is like 6 inches above. Until that 6 inches above comes down 6 inches and meets me right here, right now. I'm going to continue thinking that, and the naysayers, well, they can keep naysaying. And when it gets here, they won't be naysaying. They'll be jealous, and that puts a negative thought out there. But I'm trying to tell you, you can have yours. All you have to do is pray and meditate and create it.
Creative Visualization, Shakti Queen, is a good book. Norman Vincent Peale, for people that have trouble with, that are Christians that have trouble with metaphysics, a very good author to help you through that part. I'm not down on religion. Religion was a process that brings us to this point, but it did, you know, there's error in all religion. I taught this year ago because of the human element. And sometimes religion puts restrictions on you having a personal relationship with God. I'm here to tell you tonight, as a servant of the Most High God, that God wants to have an intimate, personal relationship with you and each and every one of us. And he wants you to realize your divine destiny with him. And you do this, accomplish this, by shutting down the flesh, basically. And getting connected to your spirit. In the beginning, the spirit ruled. The spirit was in charge. But when they took of the fruit, it became a slave. And we need to reverse that back. And we do that by practicing higher consciousness and by renewing our mind and replacing it with, no matter what happens, what we're looking at, what we feel, we have to get above that. And that's the purpose of it. Meditation has
a lot of benefit. You don't have to do anything fancy. It's basically learning to clear your mind. You know, those nagging thoughts. I mean, worry. Let's talk about worry for a minute. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you plenty of action, but it takes you nowhere. It gives you lots of that adrenaline pump, but it doesn't do anything for you. And actually, worry is a signal to pray. And worry is a signal to you need to change something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, and but people are too busy. We're in that microwave society, and we're too busy. We're too busy.
Instant gratification.
Well,
people want,
you know,
instant gratification. And some
right.
things
I mean,
are
it was God. It was God that created the heavens and earth in 7 days, and He's made you a creator. He didn't say that you could. Okay, so you got to spend time at this. It don't happen
mm-hmm.
overnight, but if you take baby steps, if you remember back when you first started walking, you started with the baby steps, and it wasn't long before it was running. So, you know,
yeah.
come on, give it a shot. What do you got to lose?
It reminded me that baby Maddie took 2 steps. We're all excited about that. But children, this attack on children, you know, it's not a new thing. It's just that it's coming out more now. You know, we have the media, we have the internet, we have all these.
We have cell phones.
Yeah.
With video,
we have all
and
these modes of
text and
communication, you know, and things are brought out. Plus the fact that Neptune is where it is until 2075, I think it is, or 2025. Anyway, it's a long time, and I'll look that up. But things are going to be revealed. You know, just like it has
but
been revealed
to the
American. But we have
to be open to
see them. Yeah, it's been revealed to the American people, the management of our money, especially in the Social Security Fund, has been mishandled.
Well, I understand that, and it enrages me because that's a trust fund. And if you mess with a trust fund, they're going to come down on you hard in any court in the land. So why have our elected officials who are supposed to be taking care of all of the constituents, why
Which,
have they,
and
over
a
the years,
not relationship, anyone, I might add. A fiduciary
not,
relationship, yeah.
Right. Well, not any one particular group or organization or this Congress or that president or, you know, not any one particular one of them, but for years and years and years, it's been done, and they've just used Social Security as a piggy bank. And that's not right. It's a trust fund. It's a trust fund. And I've got off my soapbox now. I'm sorry for everybody who's listening. I'm sorry for my little rant and rave.
I gave
for
you
those
the trigger.
Of you who'd like to
I gave
call
you
in.
The trigger. See, that's how a trigger works. I gave you the trigger, and you took off on it. And that's okay. That's okay, and I'm glad you released that. And, you know, we should be able to speak about things and, you know, and be able to, God says, reason with me. Reason with them. If you don't understand something, rather than reacting emotionally, you know, and we're brainstorming a lot of things here. We're talking about the battle in our mind, and winning in higher consciousness, and thinking above our problems, moving
and
forward,
and thinking in
positive.
Our future and what it could be like. And trying to live in today while looking at ourselves living in that to create it.
I totally believe that if we're not evolved, we're not going to make it in the next stage. And that seems so rough right now is because we're being faced with things that we need to change.
Oh, I think I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I agree with you almost 100%. And that's only because I haven't really thought it through quite the way you put it to make sure whether or not I believe with you fully. But everybody, we're planning our January show. We're hoping to get it somewhere around the 28th, and we're going to be looking at 2013. I know that it'll basically be the end of the month, but we're looking at January 28th at the same time, 7 o'clock West Coast time. And
4 p.m. West Coast time.
I'm sorry, 4 p.m. West Coast time, 7 p.m. East Coast time. I'll get it right. Mm-hmm. And Janet's going to give our audience a special treat. For 2013, she is going to, in our January show, the last half hour of our show, we're going to invite our listeners to call in, and Janet will answer a question for them about their 2013 and what's the possibility of whatever it is that they're looking at for 2013. And
your most urgent request, your most urgent request, whether it be finances, health, think about it between now and then. And it is only the first month. The first month is kind of transitioning from 2012 into 2013. So there's still like some loose ends that need to be tied up. It's actually the 28th will be a 10-day. It'll be a power day. It'll be a good day. And I will answer questions over the air. And if it's too personal that you don't want to air anything over the live, then you can email us, and we will go ahead, Marcia, and tell them where they can email.
Yeah, you can email us at spiritualprecept@aol.com. And Janet does private readings, and she also does readings for Keene, and you can find her at daisy64478 is her screen name there at keene.com. And if it's too personal and you'd like to talk to her off the air, she would be happy to work with you at a convenient time, or you can jump on the queue at Keene. But that's a special treat she's given to our listeners and our January show, where we will be discussing kind of what happened through the holidays and how the hype from December 21st, what all is the fallout at that point from there, kind of what she's seeing and feeling for the new year for us, and you know, kind of get her take on it. And I think it's going to be really interesting.
I do too, you know, and it's kind of like what's ahead for me, you know. I think 2012 is like a government number. It's a completion. It's like 12 months of the year, 12 disciples. 12 is a significant number. It's a completion number. And I think we're being faced with, and it's been going on here, with what we need to, being shown what we need to master here. And one is anger. Anger, I mean, we've been,
so I shouldn't
been angry at the government. They've been angry at this and angry at that. Angry at the economy, angry at the health care system, angry at everything. And I think that's not the way to solve it.
Well, anger never is, because all it does is get egos and attitudes in the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what anger does. It brings egos and attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And I
think we can get better at any age, and that we can evolve at any age. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've been through. God loves you, and he wants to bring you in and have a relationship with you. He wants to. People ask me about the 21st, and I said, "Well, if it is, and that's what we're faced with, what we got to look forward to when this does change is freedom from illness and disease, no more sickness or disease, no more tears, no more sorrow." So I welcome it, because I'm certainly tired of looking at tragedy. I'm ready for some comedy.
And we keep putting that positive out there to make it come true.
That's right. That's
to create it, because God said we can, and it's ours if we ask and be thankful that we already have it. So live that life 6 inches above. Feel those mm-hmm. feelings. Be in that while you're in the present, working toward it. You know, and I'm excited. I'm always excited for a new year.
I am too. It's a new beginning. It's like, okay, I can look at 2012. Where I fell short, and we all fall short. I mean, we all make mistakes. That's why they put erasers on pencils. Okay, so we all make those little mistakes, and But hopefully, you know, you can pick yourself up, shake yourself off, and move on and learn from your experiences and move on to a higher level. And I really think that people that are stuck in those modes where they hold on to their anger and it's gone into bitterness. You know, science is proving that bitterness is the root cause of most illnesses, and they definitely believe that one of the root causes of cancer.
Well, that's true. You know,
people who are alcoholics and drug addicts and that are addicted, you know, I mean, we're all addicted to something. I mean, you can get, I was watching, just changing channels happened to fall on this channel, and watched the, where some of these women are addicted, and to men, not just women, addicted to shopping, where they have $65,000 worth of shoes, or, you know, and I'm going, wow, you know, to me that was like, wow.
Imelda Marcos.
Mm-hmm. And it just proves that, you know, you can get addicted to anything.
Oh, yeah.
Anything.
You didn't know there were
anything.
Shopaholics?
Yeah. You know, you get addicted to people, you get addicted to philosophy, you get addicted to religion, you get addicted to anything. People,
yeah.
Other people, you know, power.
Oh, power is a big one. It sucks you in, and it sucks you in, and, you know, it changes people. It changes lives. And, you know, and that's what it's about, but a lot of times that power hungry doesn't change for in a positive way, you know, that.
But
it's
higher consciousness helps you to become aware of maybe something that you're taking for granted, that you don't even recognize that you're doing. It could be a behavior that got instilled
at a very
on.
Young age, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like at three, never
no, it does up. Nothing but edify you and evolve you, so that's our purpose. We're here to help people evolve and to help them along with ourselves, because what you do for somebody else, God will do for you. So we have about 18 minutes left here. So I'd like to close again with another prayer. And I speak to the great spirit of the universe, master and creator of heaven and earth. I speak to you and ask you to help us all to master our thought life and help us to master our emotions and not be emotionally driven. Again, I'd like to hold up the people of this tragedy, all that are concerned. And, Father, we need your help. You know, it's hard to understand these things. We need your help. And I pray for everyone that's listened. I pray for everyone who's a member of my church and people who are associated with me. And I'd like to ask for a special blessing on all the people who have given kindness and generous gifts to the church and to the children that were in need. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for it. God will bless you. I can promise you that. It's in his word that he will bless you for even considering, if you can't give, just the thought that you would do it. And I ask for blessings as we close this year. And help us to understand what is best for us in 2013. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Well, you know, I would also like to tell everyone, too, Janet puts a lot of work into the show. She has a church. She's a minister. And she has a daughter who has some physical handicaps and some mental handicaps at home that she takes care of. Janet's almost 70, and
69 years young.
she has recently taken in her granddaughters. One's not quite a year and a half old, and the other one I think is three or four.
Mm-hmm.
Three, that's right. We keep saying 3-year old. And she also does her readings. She does counseling, which is wonderful, because that's how I met her. She at 70 just goes and goes and goes and takes care of these three children. And when you hear about a tragedy like today, then all you can do is just grab hold of those children and love them for all they're worth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I look at Janet as someone very strong to be able to be her age and do the kind of work she's done. So when you say your prayers, if you'll just add a little extra prayer for the load that Janet has to carry. She's graciously accepted it with her grandchildren, and they love Grandma. And she needs our prayers to help lift her up and help her to continue to give her the strength to deal with all of those issues that she has at home that she faces every day, and still be able to be out here and try to help all of us on our quest for a higher consciousness. So I'd just like to say thank you, Janet, for all of your hard work and effort.
Thank you, Father. I attribute to being able to do this to the fact that I do take time to renew my spirit, renew my mind, and I praise God for leading me and empowering me, because without Him it would not be possible. And I want to thank you, too. You and many church members, Marcia, thank you for all the technical support you've given to make this radio show possible. Your input, your wonderful candle burning that you do for people, and just for the world, for everybody, that people that she doesn't even know. And this is the kind of people we want in our lives. This is the kind of people we want to be connected to, people who have the ability to love, because love conquers everything. If you just remember that, love conquers everything. And God is love. The God that we worship, our God, is love. He's pure essence of love. If people could only know just how good He really is. And I'm sure that He is weeping and touched by this whole incident today. But it's beyond our control that these things happen. And all we can do is to keep putting good energy into it. I thank everyone that tuned in. I'm looking forward to the next show. I'm looking forward to helping you with 2013. I'll do a lot of prayer and meditation between now and then to give you good answers. And I hope we will have some participation.
Oh, I am looking forward to it. And for all of our listeners, from my home to yours, I hope you have a very blessed holiday. And keep in mind that don't drink and drive. Keep in mind
both
that...
Both feet on the wheel.
And I'd like just to send into your homes holiday cheer from my family, and wishing you all a very blessed holiday season. And if Santa doesn't bring you what you wanted, well, create it 6 inches above.
Mm-hmm. We wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. We'll see you next year, and be prepared. Think about what you really want to know, what's the most urgent thing that you need answered, and call in, and we'll pray with you, and I will give you revelation on 2013.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. You have a great night and a wonderful holiday, and we'll see you on January 28th. Good night.
Good night.